Hello, everyone. Today is Saturday, February 8th, 2020. Welcome to our Contract Trust Conference Call. We are not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We are not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. So I'd like to thank you for joining us today. My name is Carol Worlius, and my associate Jim Knox and I have these calls every second and fourth Saturday of the month. These calls are recorded and available on our website, www.indicatorinformation.com, IQDcalls.com, and YouTube. As we get closer and closer to our expected RV, which we all thought would be here by now, we thought this would be a good time to review our common law contract trust and why we think is the best vehicle for you to protect your assets. As always, your questions are welcome. Just hit star 6 to raise your hand, and we will take questions as we're going. And Jim just had, talked about him, and I have to tell you, most of you know that I've also had a bad cold in the last couple of weeks, and while not as serious as some of Jim's issues, I'm still a little stuffy sometimes, so excuse me if I cough or sound a little nasal. But anyway, we're going to start today with some housekeeping. On our last call, we learned that the box shop in Cheyenne, Wyoming has closed its doors. This has caused some paperwork for those of you who have domiciled their trust in Cheyenne. It does not require a lot of paperwork, and we have samples on all of it on our website. You must get a new domicile at any of the three places we suggested to you. When you get that new address, you must complete IRS Form 8822B. And you cannot complete 8822B until you get that new address, so you have to do this in order. You have to get the address, then complete the 8822B and the other forms that we have. Anyway, a completed sample of the 8822B is on our website. Mail that form for all of your trust to the address in Ogden, Utah, listed at the bottom of the form. You also need to create a minute for a trust, all of them if you have more than one. Well, I don't know who that is, but excuse me. There's also a sample again to the abstract of trust noting the new address. I'm sorry, folks, I don't know how to make that go away. That should be the last. Sorry. I think it's the end of it. Anyway, there's also a sample addendum to the abstract of trust noting the new address. We felt using the addendum would be easier for you than creating a new abstract, which would need to be notarized. And speaking of minutes, now is a good time to remind you to do your end-of-year minutes. It's important to let your future trustees know what you've done. If you have purchased additional currency, be sure to note it on the trust. Samples of that are on the website as well. You know, most of you are aware of our members-only website, www.indicatorinformation.com. You are invited to join when you purchase a trust. The content was designed for our trust only. We ask that you do not share your password. Jim has endeavored to pack that site with as much information as you're ever likely to need. There's a wealth of information available for your use, from simple explanations and resources to complex strategies. It's a resource that is part of your trust, so please take advantage of it. Jim, would you like to add anything else about the website?
Yes, I would. Even though Carol owns a URL and she owns some of the plugins and other things, I own the dang thing and don't mess it up. I'm tired of doing it. I will, and I've done this twice now. I've thrown people out of this thing and finally got an agreement with them and then put them back into it. But you just can't give out the username and password to anybody. That's not their business. If they want to see it, let them buy a trust. You can sit there with them and show them, but you can't give it away. And we've been broken into 3 times, and it costs an average of $1,500 in labor and expenses to fix it. And the last time it got broken, I figured out who did it, and they actually gave me some money. So, because I sent them a bill. And we just can't afford that right now. So please, be respectful and don't give out that, because if you take the website down, you're hurting everybody in the group. And that's my snivel for the day. Go ahead.
Okay. Now that those items are out of the way, let's talk about trusts. Yeah, Jim and I get calls all the time about what to do it, how to follow the terms of the trust, not get in trouble, et cetera, et cetera. So we thought we would address a few of those issues today. As we all anticipate this long-awaited RV, we have to think about asset protection. Unfortunately, there will be those who wish to take away what we have so long hoped to possess for their own greed and power. The common law contract business trust that we provide will protect your assets from those who wish to take it away from you. We realize that common law contract business trust is a mouthful, so we refer to it merely as a contract trust. While it is in fact a true business trust, we have dropped the word business and it's caused a lot of confusion, especially with bankers. It does retain all the benefits and advantages of the business trust. There have been some questions lately about whether one needs a trust at all. From a practical, thoughtful standpoint, you do need a trust to protect your assets. From a banking perspective, you must have a trust or other entity if you are to receive more than $1 million. And I believe most of us are in that category. In order to achieve the goals of asset protection, privacy, and anonymity, you must properly execute and operate the trust. We provide all the information you need to get started and to keep you operating within the rules. And I'm going to take a little break here because we have a question. So, Lee, you're up.
Hi, Carolyn. This is Lee.
Hi.
I'm needing to find out, I looked on the website, but I couldn't find the address and phone numbers of the people you're telling us about in Wyoming that we can get post office boxes from. Can you tell me where to look?
Yeah, Jim?
Yeah, it's on the tab called Tools.
No, I thought it was under new, Jim.
It's under, well, no. She's asking about the addresses of the now access. We put it on the tools because that's pretty much open to everybody, and it has the rest of the tools there. And it's in big red letters, mail drops for your trust. It's got the three there. Under new is where we have the F8822B form and all that stuff. I can add it there, too.
Okay, great.
All right.
Right?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye. So, back to trust. Obviously, you must understand the very basics of the contract trust before you can effectively work with it and within it. It is vitally important to read the contract trust and all the supporting pages information we provide. Read it and read it again. The trust is only 10 pages. It's written in everyday language and easy to follow. It even provides for instruction to the trustee. I quote, the trustee shall regard this instrument as their guide to be supplemented from time to time by regulations, bylaws, and or resolutions of the board to cover contingencies that may arise and which are recorded in the minutes. You need to sign the trust documents where indicated. Where there is a signature line with a name printed below it, it must be signed. If there is a signature line without a name under it, as in certificates 3 and 4, don't sign it. Several pages have to be signed in front of the notary, and they are all clearly marked. The only people that must sign before the notary are the curator and the original exchangers, typically you and your spouse if you have one. You do not have to take your successor trustees to sign in front of a notary. There are many advantages of the contract trust. The contract trust owns and controls its assets through trustees who keep controlling minutes of their actions. You get to be the trustee. You can name your spouse as co-trustee and your children as successor trustees. As trustee, you are in total control of the trust and its assets. There is no one between you and your money. A person can transfer all of his or her property, real or personal, to a contract trust. Such property is thereby protected from personal liabilities, probate, and death taxes. So you can see why if you are putting your currencies into the trust and they revalue to a considerable amount of money, you can see why you want to protect them, especially from probate and death taxes. The contract trusts that we prepare are irrevocable. the contract trust is born to live and not to die as conventional statutory trust. And we do have another question here. So let's see, area code 816.
Hello, Carol. Jim. Carol, on when we list our currencies in our trust, do we need to put the amount of each currency or just the currency?
I've always left the amount blank, and it's up to you to fill it in.
Okay. The same would happen with you add currency to your trust.
Yeah, as in we have a sample minute for adding currency. The trustee purchased additional currency on behalf of the trust. I never put amounts in.
I'd like to add to that.
Go ahead, Jim.
Also, the reason I don't put the number on of the amount of currency, I have put the currencies, but not the amount, is because up to the last minute, I may give some away. I may add some more. I may, you never know. I'm giving currency away to my family and friends right now. So I don't want to put the number in the trust and have to scratch through it. If I'm going to do any accounting like that, that'll be in a separate spreadsheet to be attached as an addendum to the trust, like an Excel spreadsheet. And that's my take on that. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Also, when you're doing the minutes in the trust, do you need to number each minute of each day?
Not of the day, but of the minute, yes. So next, depends on how you have your trust set up, either the last minute will be either 5 or 6. Well, the next minute you add is going to be 7, then you're going to add minute 8, and then add minute 9. It's not by day, it's by inserting a new minute. And you just sign it, and you date it, and you put it in the trust.
Thank you.
I have to ask, is this Dean?
Yes, it is, Carol.
I thought that your name didn't come up, but I recognize your voice.
Hey, it's good to hear from you guys again. We missed a week.
You. Yeah, we did. Yeah, thank you. Okay, if we don't have any more questions, we can go back to our program. The biggest question for most people is, how do I get money out of the trust? There are actually several different ways. The first way is to pay yourself a modest salary as trustee, and this could be anything, $5,000, $10,000, $500, whatever you want. This should be enough to cover your everyday needs, like groceries, utilities, gasoline, medical bills, etc. The second way is to declare and pay a distribution to the trust certificate holders of the contract trust. In either case, this money is taxable income to you at this point in time. We don't know how that may or may not change. You probably want to take some money this way and pay a minimal amount of tax. Again, the tax issue is up in the air. You could also borrow from the trust. A big question for many is, how do I pay off my house or how do I purchase new property? Again, there are a couple ways to do this. You could borrow the money from the trust, essentially a new mortgage, or a refi that you control. In this scenario, you still end up owning the property in your own name, and that is not a good idea if you're trying to keep a low profile. A better option is to obtain a mortgage from the trust, secured with a promissory note, and put the house into a real estate trust. This would be optimal for large expenses and is not a taxable event. You could use the same method to purchase new vehicles, etc. Creating and funding secondary contract trusts from the Mueller-Lowe Trust is another way to purchase big-ticket items without creating a loan or taxable event. So you're going to, for instance, you're going to create and fund a real estate trust for the new house on the lake that you want. The real estate trust is going to purchase the house with that money, and the house will then be titled to the real estate trust to begin with, and again, there won't be a loan or anything like that to worry about. And, again, don't forget about tax-deductible expenses. What about vacations and golf and tennis club memberships? As a trustee, you're charged with managing and growing your trust. That means you probably want to investigate business opportunities and relationships, does it not? Most of those expenses are tax-deductible to the contract trust. Regardless of which method or combination of methods you choose, be sure to write minutes to support your actions. You must be diligent in keeping the contractors legal and in compliance with federal, state, and county and city codes. While we have mentioned taxes and taxable income, that may all change. We have heard that the IRS and the Federal Reserve will cease to exist as we know them. We have also heard we will be changing to a flat tax system, but nobody knows for sure at this juncture. Jim, I'm having a little hard time breathing here. You want to take over for a few minutes?
Sure. Some people are concerned that the contract trust may be difficult to operate. No, it is not difficult at all. There are, however, a few important considerations. For instance, when signing anything relating to the contract trust, you must sign it as John Doe, comma, trustee, comma, and not as otherwise. That's John Doe, trustee, and not as otherwise. That statement limits personal exposure. As you mentioned earlier, you will need to write a minute to document the trust activities. All trustees must sign the minutes. If the trust transacts no business in any calendar year, you should write it at the end of the year in the minute, the end of the year minute, documenting that. The contract trust packages comes with complete operating instructions. Our new members and our old members only use this website for vast offering of minutes and resolutions for them to expand on their knowledge. The issue of taxation has come up time and time again. We have all heard the actual exchange is supposed to be a non-taxable event, but I don't think anyone knows for sure. Even if it isn't taxed federally, it may be taxed the individual states. If you live in a state that imposes a state income tax, you may wish to domicile your trust in one of the seven states that do not levy such a tax. The legal use of a rental box, either in your home state or a no-tax state, gives you added privacy and anonymity. That brings up another question. Will I have to go to the domicile state to exchange to do my banking? No. You do not have to do that. As trustee, you'll exchange and manage the trust business from wherever you choose, in as many places as you choose. Many of us have waited a long time for this RV to occur. We have plans for new houses, new cars, helping out friends and family, not to mention our humanitarian goals. How do we get the money to do all of these things? We are not accountants, CPAs, or tax professionals. We do not know what restrictions we may be under post-RV. All I can offer you right now is my opinions on a possible scenario for some immediate needs. Now, this is the first one. Mr. Banker, I now have X million dollars. I would like you to put $100,000 into a new personal account. I would like you to take $7,500 cash. I would like to take $7,500 cash with me when I leave today, as well as a debit card attached to my personal account. I will need these wires to be sent here and here, and here's the list of cashier's checks that I need. I will need a pass-through account for X amount of dollars. I would like to put the balance into an account at your bank or ABC Trust. That would be your mother-load trust. Here's my paperwork. You have the abstract and the EIN. Should be all you need. Again, I'm not a CPA or tax planner. This is just my opinion on how we may be able to take advantage of this one-time tax break. This is obviously pretty simplified, but you get the general idea. The contract trust that we prepare is a common law instrument. Our right to contract is guaranteed by Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. December 2019, at the World Economic Forum in Davos, President Trump announced that 187 judges have been appointed to interpret the U.S. laws for return to common law of the original U.S. Constitution. In his State of the Union address, he stated that there would be many more judges appointed. Your contract trust is yours, a very private instrument that is, frankly, nobody's business but yours. Although we suggest you do not show it to the banks, etc., sometimes you have to. As currency holders, we all expect to be working with a host of professionals to help us manage the assets of the trust. These professionals must be familiar with the contract trust and the rules and the regulations applicable to the contract trust in general. They must therefore apply themselves to the study of those rules and regulations applicable to the contract trust before they can do justice to the contract trust operation. They will have to do their homework. Be advised that most professionals are not interested in learning anything new, but if they want your business, and they will have to learn it. No one attacking the contract trust with intent to distort it in any way can be successful if the contractor's organization is properly presented and represented. Now, the next one is some thoughts that I'm supposed to have and my contact information. Well, I'll get into that in a minute. But here's what I do, folks. I do it a little bit differently. I know that I'm going to be acquiring more cars and more real estate, so I'm setting up trust in advance for that. But those of us that don't set up trust, as long as you know what you're going to get ready to do, you have some strategies. One of the things that I am doing is I like the idea of moving money back to the mother of trust. This is just my stuff, kids. Don't, you know, this is not what Carol's thinking. This is what I'm thinking. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to borrow the money from the trust to a real estate trust. I'm going to pay back some of that money, if not all that money, at a 1% simple interest loan. 1% simple interest. I mean, not compound, simple interest, 1%. Now, that puts money, as I'm going through my life, that puts money back into the trust to add more things. Now, of course, we'll have a lot of sources of income so we can afford to do that. But that's what I want to do. I want to continue to put more money in the trust off of my income, and that's how I can put it back into the trust to use it for other ventures. Of course, now there may be other ways to do that, but that's how I'm going to do it. On trust certificates, I've had a lot of calls, well, I need more certificates. No, you don't. You need to go down and make copies of what you have. So take one of the certificates, either three or four. Take it down to where they have a color laser copier. Have them get out some cardstock, some heavier white paper, and photocopy that certificate onto four or five or ten pieces of paper. It has no number in it, and you can write it as the name of your trust, but no number for the trust certificate, no certificate amounts, nothing. You just copy the blank number three or number four certificate, and then you have all you want. And otherwise, you know, you're going to have to hand type it or type it into some type of certificate stock, and that's not fun. So, yeah. Carol, you want to add to that?
Yeah, that's a very good idea, Jim, for the certificates. And trust me, folks, you do not want to type this out yourself. It took me a long, long time to get it all to fit correctly on that page. I agree with you, Jim, about the loan. That's why I mentioned it first. But, you know, people can do whatever they want, whatever is easiest for them. And let's face it, most of us are going to have financial advisors or wealth managers who will also, you know, say, well, I think you should do it this way. It might be better for you tax-wise to do it this way. So that's a decision that you're going to have to make as it comes up. I think it's a really good idea. But you do, remember, if it is a loan, you do have to make a payment.
Okay, now let me jump in there for that. He's exactly right. Now, here's why I'm doing the 1%. Am I going to be buying houses for people I know to help them out? But it ain't going to be a free house. They're going to have to pay a little bit to back to the mother load trust. And that's the money I'm going to use to extend my empire, shall we say. So I may charge them $250 a month, you know, or $300 a month, or whatever they can afford. It isn't free. There's no freebies in this world anymore. So what we've got to do is make sure that when we put the money to work, it works. And that's why I'm going to put it back in there. Now, $250 a month doesn't sound like much, but it's more than you had yesterday in the trust. So I'm going to do it that way. And I'm just going to insist, if you want this free house, it's not free. You get this house, here's what you got to pay. You can pay it a simple interest loan. Now, folks, if you understand how that the compound interest ruins things, just look at our economy. The value of the dollar. The economy is great, don't get me wrong. The value of the dollar is just tanked. There's nothing there. So let's use this example. If you buy a $100,000 house and you have a 5% note on it, standard note, you're going to pay approximately $250,000 of the term of the note for 30 years. That's unbelievable. If you have a simple interest note and a $100,000 house, over the term of the note, you're going to pay $5,000 in interest. That's it. Not $250,000, not $150,000 in interest, $5,000 in interest. So I always draw all of my personal notes to be simple interest. Comments on that or thoughts on that, Carol?
No, I totally agree. I mean, what they're doing to us with the mortgages is ridiculous. It was just why we've had so many issues with mortgages and foreclosures and derivatives and refis, and I mean, you name it, and packaging mortgages and selling them as an asset. It's all because of the compound interest. And
well,
simple interest makes life easy for everybody.
Well, that's why the Federal Reserve and all the government, well, I shouldn't say the government, all the Federal Reserve and everybody involved in that fiat currency scam, that's why they're so rich. You pay $100,000 for a house, but you got to pay them $150,000 for the use of no money. You create the money, technically, when you sign the contract. They take and sell that contract to the Federal Reserve, and they get and share that $150,000. I know how this works. Trust me on this. I'm not wrong on that. And
it's
criminal. It's absolutely, in my opinion, criminal the way they do that. But we can't stop it right now. Okay, let's go on.
Okay, we have a question.
Go ahead.
Gary, you're up.
Hey, Jim, this is Gary in Phoenix. Question, you said to make a copy of the certificates, but certificate number 3 and number 4 are numbered, but you said make a copy without a number on it.
Well,
do we just block out that number?
Well, I would, yeah. What I've done is you can take a little white sticky pad, get a white one, not a yellow one, and just cut a little piece and put it over the number, put it on the platen, push copy, it'll come out, you won't see that number.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
I'm glad you brought it up, Gary. I forgot about that. That was in my notes, but I didn't read my notes. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, actually, we don't have any other questions right now, Jim, which is surprising. So anybody, you do have a question, please star 6 to raise your hand. Otherwise, you're going to have to put up with Jim and me for another little while.
Well, there are some things we can talk about while there's
okay.
One question. All right. So we're hearing that this RV is coming up soon. Now, the definition of soon is not what I thought it was, because I heard soon 13 years ago. So We have to be prepared for any delays. I mean, a lot of us are just about to go crazy over this stuff. I mean, it's nuts what they've been doing. But I think we're closer than we've ever been, if not right away. Now, my point on this whole thing is once it goes through, that's when your work starts. When this thing goes through, it's going to be exciting. And you're going to have to get mentally prepared to do battle. Because you're going to have to keep and be vigilant on these bankers and wealth managers. You got to watch them. You're going to have to double-check them. You got to make sure they know what they're talking about. Don't be afraid to question their knowledge. I was with my banker earlier this week, and we were talking about some stuff. And he said something, and I didn't agree with it, so I started questioning his knowledge. Come to find out he was wrong. And so I explained it to him. We looked it up, and I was right. And he was very gracious. Well, you're right. I didn't realize that. We'll do it that way. And so if you talk to them in a civil tone and you work with them, you negotiate, say, well, that's not what I heard. Let's look that up. Don't argue with them. I like to argue. Don't argue with them.
Really?
Just say, you know how I am, Carol. Don't argue with them. Just say, let's look that up. Because all their computers go right to the Internet. And you can look it up, and you can find it, and that's the way you go. And that's what we're getting ready to go through. You've got to get mentally prepared for this. It's going to be fun and tedious at the same time. The fun part is what you're going to be able to do and how you're going to be able to build your empire. The tedious part is repetitively explaining things to people, you know, because they're not going to really understand a lot of stuff. They're on a different page than we are. But that doesn't mean they can't do and learn what we do. And but I'm really jazzed that President Trump is announcing that we have these judges to study and understand common law, because we know we're going to go back to that. There's a lot of rumors out there about what's getting ready to happen, and that's just what they are, rumors. Now, I've never seen any official documentation from any government agency talking about the RV as we understand it as denarians. So, it's all hearsay right now until we see something. That's my take on that. What else can we talk about this?
Well, Jim, I agree with you. When people are working with wealth advisors, et cetera, folks, don't forget it's your money. They can advise you, but they're not going to. I mean, you have to have a tight rein on them. You know, it's your money. If they say, I think you should do this, and you don't think you should, as Jim says, challenge them. Tell them, no, I don't particularly want to invest in that today. You need some time to think about it. Well, I need to go home and I need to discuss that with my co-trustee. Don't let them push you into making decisions that you're not ready to make. It is your money. and it's your trust, and they can't do anything without you. So just bear that in mind. You are still in the driver's seat. Absolutely.
All right. The next thing is I want to go back to the change of address. I want to tell you where it's at on the website. So we have a tab called New. Now, the menu that that's on here, I can't change it because it's inherent in the theme. I probably could if I spent days studying it, but I'm not about to do that. So when you go to the website, you find mouse over the word New slowly from below and go up to it. Because if you get too close to the one above it, you won't be able to get it to work. The list of documents right above it on my computer because I have a widescreen. But go find the one that says asterisk, N-E-W, asterisk. Okay, so New. If you mouse up from below it slowly, it'll say you can either click on the word New or there's a little black box that pops down that says changing trust or domicile address. Click on that. That'll take you to indicatorinformation.com/changing-trust-domicile-or-address. Okay. Now, when you're there, you get the changing trust domicile address, and you get the actual minutes to add to your trust. You get the identity of the abstract of trust, and down below you get the actual form, IRS Form 8822B, better known as F8822B, F standing for form. And it's a blue hyperlink. You can click on it, and you'll actually get a trust or a form that will pop up that you can fill out online and then print it. Below, I have a sample. And yes, I know I made a typo. Line 4A, don't call me, I know, it says your RUSUT instead of trust. I have dyslexic fingers, folks. So when you can actually take and right-click on that form, that sample, and say print, or you can say open image in a new tab, and then you will have that sample to use. And then when you actually click on the hyperlink F8822B, it opens up a fillable form. Now, in this form, on the form itself, and above the form when you do that, it has a list of all the states and where to send the form. If you have your trust domiciled in Washington, you send it to Department of Treasury, Internal Revenue Service, Ogden, Utah. If you have it in, say, New Hampshire, the Department of Treasury, Internal Revenue Service, Kansas City, Missouri. So you want to make sure that you choose to send it to the state where your trust is domiciled, not where you live. Let me say that again. Send it to the state or to the if it's Washington, send it to Ogden. You want to send it to the address that your state is listed on, where your trust is domiciled, not your home address. But your trust domicile. So Washington, Ogden. Okay?
The same thing with Wyoming. It's also Ogden.
Okay. And, well, that takes care of that. Then we have, there's some people in Texas. Don't have to worry about that, but Texas is in that same spot, too. Okay, good. So it's always going to go to Ogden, Utah, 84201.
Yeah.
And so that's all on the internet for you. That's right on our page. So you don't have to go anywhere to find all these forms.
Okay.
So
we have another question.
Take it.
Okay. Area code 408.
Hey, Carol and Jim, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. If
we are switching states for domicile, do we have to do a recheck on name availability in the new state?
No.
It's not registered state at all. You don't worry about the state. You're just getting a post office box there. It's registered with the federal government, which trumps the state, pardon my pun. And so be sure if you're domiciled, for example, if you're domiciled in Wyoming and you want to move to Washington State, so when you fill out the form, it's going to ask you for let me pull it over here. It's going to ask you for the previous address. You would put your not your home address. You'd put the Wyoming address that you used to have, the box number and everything. And then where it says where it's going to, new mailing address, then you put your Washington State address, the new Washington State address that you're going to go to. Always use the domicile address of the state. And no, you don't have to register it with anybody. And that's the unique thing about these. These are private contracts. Good question. Thank you.
Yeah, that is a good question. And people have asked that often, you know, do I have to look up the name? There is no name lookup because it's not registered. And again, as Jim said, it's one of the beauties of this trust is it's totally private. It's not registered with any state. I think Nevada is requiring it now for some reason, but it doesn't have to be registered. It doesn't need a resident agent. You don't have to pay annual franchise fees. So it's just, this is a one-time deal. It helps you a great deal.
In Oregon, now we have to register business trusts. But this is exempt from that because it's a contractual private trust, basically. But when I read the statute and everything, I didn't have to register anything. And when I showed the banker that, because he said, well, his business got to be registered. No, that. So I showed him the deal, showed him the abstract. And I actually showed him the whole trust because I'm trying to build a relationship with him. He was really, really impressed. And he said, yeah, you're right. You don't have to record that. So,
and the same thing with Washington. Washington has required that business trust operating a business need to be registered with the state.
Right.
Other than that, they do not.
It's a way for the state to try and generate some revenue because they see there's a lot of people using business trust nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not using our type of business trust.
This is true.
It's a statutory business trust.
And go ahead, Jim. Somebody brought up recently that certain states require, if you're domiciled there, you need to have a trustee in that state. And that is for statutory trusts. As Jim said, this is not a statutory trust. It's a business trust or contractual trust company. We have never seen any requirement where the trustee has to be in the domicile. Would you agree, Jim?
Totally agree. When I met with my banker, that was the first thing I had to brought up. We're talking two different bases of law. We're in common law, and they're in statutory law. And that's
there
for statutory business trust, not for common law business trust. It took a little while for me to educate him, maybe 15 minutes, and read through the part of the trust with him in the abstract. And then I showed him the, I brought him up he brought the website up, which he was really impressed with, I must add. And I took him to Article 1, Section 10, which we have on our website. And he read through it and says, yeah, you're absolutely right. It says here, I won't read the whole thing, but they're saying that law impairing there's no law. The law is, Article 1, Section 10 is they can't impair your obligation to contract.
Right.
And so he got a chuckle, too, because he's an attorney. And because let me read this one part. It says, no state shall enter any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque and reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, has any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Now, this is interesting. This is an attorney. He's now working for a banker for the bank, Wells Fargo. And he says, I says, yeah, Esquire is a title of nobility. He says, you're right. I says, I've never saw that before. hello? They turned real red.
I can understand that. And supposedly, nobody with the title of nobility can be in Congress, but most of them are attorneys. Go figure.
Well, that's because it's not part of the republic. They are part of a corporation. Supposedly
that's
ended
true.
The 31st of this last month, and I think
that's
it
true.
Did. Here's the fun part, folks. Think about this. Now, I'm not sure on this, so let me just point this out. Every time we have the corporate United States runs out of money, we have a big battle. Remember 2 years ago, ran through almost all of December and into January, we fought about how much money they were going to put in, this and that other budget. We didn't have any of that this year. There was no mention of the year end of the corporate United States, and there was no mention of the budget. None.
That's true.
So they know something that they don't want us to know, but we know.
That we know.
So, so anyway, that's what I wanted to bring up. So the this website, I've done, and Carol's done a great job putting all this stuff together. We have so much on here that I challenge anybody else to be able to put this much information that's usable, readable, and understandable. I've been on a couple of sites. People invite me to look at their trust sites, and it's like, whoa, you know. They put all kinds of legal things, and you know, you got to be an attorney to read it. It's this and that. Well, we have, you know, amateur second on here also, but we don't emphasize that kind of stuff. We make this as simple as possible. You know, the common law contract was built for the common man. It really was. You know, Dahlstrom was just a great guy. So
he figured it all out.
Yeah. He insisted when they wrote this thing to the legal beagles, make it something I can understand. And they did. That's why it's only 10 pages long, and it's in common English.
Yeah, so there's not a bunch of wherefores and therefores and hences and things like that. It's in regular, everyday language that most of us can understand.
That's correct.
Okay, we have another caller, another question here. Hey, Rob, what's up?
Hello, Carol and Jim. Good to have you back, Jim. Great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I think I know the answer. I mean, I thought I'd ask it anyways, but there's no possible of getting any refund from the box shop, I'm assuming.
I sincerely doubt it.
We don't know what happened up there, Rob. There's been some rumors. I did hear a couple rumors. I don't like spreading rumors, but we heard that there's, let's put it this way. It's strange how she closed her shop overnight and everything's out of the building.
Mm.
Unless he was forced to. You can draw your conclusions from that statement. I don't want to spread rumors, but seems awfully weird. So I don't think you'll get anything back. You can ask
for renewed, I should say. A few months ago. I mean, so it's hasn't been that long. So, and I should have went with the other one, but I thought, well, it's, you know, I don't have to do all the paperwork and everything like that. So I said, okay, I'll just stay. And she sounded like she was going to accept the five boxes or and do the same thing as the other other shops were going to do. So,
well, you have to look at it's the cost of doing business. We sometimes when we have customers, we don't get paid fully. We have to fight with them. We finally just write it off. And don't worry about it. That's pretty much what most of us are doing. Saying, well, you know, that bad deal, but just go somebody we better.
Yeah. One of our clients contacted Brooke on Facebook. And she said mail forwarding is still available, which I don't understand if she's working from her home, and that she would like to get in contact with me. Well, it's been, what, 4 weeks now, 3 weeks now? And she has to try to contact me. So I think we should just forget about the box shop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you recommend the other one there in Wyoming?
I've spoken with Stacy, and she's really, really nice. She's willing to do whatever she can to help all of us. The same thing with Eric in Kenmore. And, Jim, you've spoken with the people in Vancouver, right?
Yeah, I did. Well, Vancouver's the one I set up, and I just renewed mine. And they've been excellent. I mean, I call, and they say, you haven't got anything here. So I only call once every quarter. But when I do get something, they call me. And because it's not a big deal. I mean, it's just a... it's just, you know, one letter every 3 or 4 months or something like comes in, they'll call me. I got an advertisement or two, and I put the wash on that. But that's all. I mean, they're great.
And I will say the same for Eric in the Mail Access in Kenmore. I've had an account there, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years, I don't know, whatever it is. And even though I have moved to Oklahoma, I maintain that box. And whenever I have mail, she packages all up and sends it to me once a week. It's been a great system, and they're very, very easy to work with. Very easy.
Yeah. I talked to them the other day, told them there'd be some more business coming in, and they agreed, yeah, no problem. Five plus box there, too, so it's not an issue.
Right.
They understand what we're doing. They don't have a website. You have to call them, and that's on our deal here, on our website.
Yeah. Now, are we supposed to be getting mail? I mean, I've never received any mail. at all?
Well, I doubt that you will.
You only should be getting something from the IRS. And somebody sent something to that old box number, but it wasn't addressed to my trust. So I contacted the people and said, that person's no longer at this box. And that's all I had to do. But other than that,
I've never received anything in the last few years.
Yeah, you probably won't.
Nothing.
Yeah, well, just think of it this way, Rob. It's really good news when you don't hear from the IRS.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Jim.
Anything else, Rob?
No. Thanks, guys, for
all right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Okay, we have another one, Jim. Okay. Hi, Audrey. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. This is Audrey Clark. How are you?
We're well, thank you. We're getting better.
Yeah, I have a question on the box. I have mine is registered at an Evanston, the at front. Is that something that's still viable? I mean, the thing you said, the box shop in Cheyenne is out of business, but is the one, the Shipping Plus on Front Street, that's still in business?
Absolutely, we're still sending people there.
And yeah. Because I haven't been contacted by them for anything. Am I supposed to be getting something from them? Should I expect something?
No, well, if your year or term is about up, they'll probably send you a reminder. But other than that, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Okay. I just wanted to know if I need to change my post office box, too.
No, you're fine.
Evanston, Wyoming is fine. Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
You're
That's
welcome.
All I needed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This whole issue has come up, folks, just with the box shop. If you are anywhere else, you're fine. If you were domiciled at the box shop at 3904 Central Avenue in Cheyenne, you then have to change your domicile. If not, you're fine. It's, whether you be in Wyoming or Washington or Texas or Florida or any other of the states that are not tax states, then you're fine. It's the only one this is affecting is those who are domiciled in Cheyenne at the box shop. Jim, you have anything to add?
No, I can't think of anything. I have, folks, I have an appointment at 11, so I need to get out of here shortly.
Okay.
Again, thanks for your well wishes, and Carol will keep you advised. Prefer that if you have questions to call Carol for now, if it's dealing with the website. Oh, let's talk about that. One more thing.
Okay.
Recently, somebody says, I can't get in, and I've went through the process, can't get in. Well, and he says, I use my email address and my password. No, you can't use your email address. When you signed up, you chose a username. The only way to get in there is to use the username and the password, not the email address and the password. It's looking for the username. And it will not let you do that. So be sure, at least it shouldn't do that. It hasn't in the past, but hey, it's a computer. It can change its mind any day. We know how that works. But you want to use the username and the password.
Again, that's a really good reason to get RoboForm. They will remember your username and your password.
I went down the list. I have 458 passwords in my RoboForm account.
Yeah.
458. Now, the reason I have so many, I have clients. I used to do websites. I own a website company. I still work with them. So I have all that available. Now, some of those I haven't been in 4 or 5 years, but it's still there. And there's been many times they'll call me because they can't remember their password. So I'll go in and find it for them. So that's why I have so many. But that is a phenomenal program. It can generate passwords for you at any length you want, from 2 characters to 50 to 100 characters. You'll love it if you get using it. It makes my life so much simpler.
Oh, totally. I would not be without it. And what's cool also is you can get an app on your phone. And it still has all your passwords. You go anywhere else, you go to the library, you bring down, well, I don't know about the library, but wherever you can get RoboForm, you put in your your login, and all of your stuff is available. So it's,
yeah,
it's a good thing, and it's free.
Well, to a degree. There is a commercial side, so I have the commercial. So anyway, so going back to this. So when you get into this thing, you start using it, it's called RoboFoam Anywhere, and mine is. And so I have a specific part of the program they tell me to download. I put it on a thumb drive. Now, I can go to any computer in the world and stick that thumb drive in there, and I can use RoboFoam. But it's pulling the information from the cloud, not the thumb drive, and it leaves no residue at all in that computer when you walk away from it, because everything's transacted on the thumb drive, not in the computer. The thumb drive simply acts as an interface for RoboFoam in the cloud, and you can still use RoboFoam to log in anywhere you want, but all that information is stored on the thumb drive, not in their computer.
Yeah,
The next thing I like about it is you can set it up where you have, what do they call these, pass cards. Okay, so you can, I have five pass cards. What happens is I have multiple entities. So if I'm going to go do some business for, I have a company called Fabulous Company. That's another story. But anyway, Fabulous Company. And if I'm going to go in there and I want to fill in a form for this company, say they want me to fill out some type of form, name, address, all of that stuff, I can click on that Fabulous Company pass card. It'll go and fill everything I want to fill in. You can actually put credit card numbers and dates and everything. I don't do that, but you can. This thing is a powerhouse. And if you learn to use it, it'll save you a lot of time.
And also, you can share passwords. Like Jim and I shared a password for free conference call.
Yep.
And a few other things like that. So it's a really good tool. Jim, we do have another question here before you leave.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, area code 435. Is that Relia?
Yes, it's Relia. You're talking just the same thing. Well, I was just needing to get the information on. I haven't been on site for quite some time, and it seemed like you gave me a password once that I don't even know how to get in the site.
Well, to get in the site, let me just walk you through that. Anybody that hasn't been on site for a while, I understand. You know, you just don't know. So let me going back to the site here. Visit site. I was inside the back end here. We have about almost 500 members in here now. So what we have is you go to the just log on the indicatorinformation.com, and you'll see the picture floats across the two kids, the we the people, and then the skyscrapers. Anyway, there's
yep,
words
I'm going there.
Okay. Right below those words, it says click the login in the blue button. That's all you got to do.
Yep.
Click the login. That'll take you to your login page. I got to log out so I can see the thing. I'm logged in. Let me log out so I can see exactly what it is, so I can tell you. Okay. Click the login.
Oh, and it's saying forget password and register as a new user. I can redo all that?
Well, no, you can't do a new user. You should have your username someplace and your password. So,
well, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I didn't understand when you were saying what form that was. Would you spell that? I heard global. I heard robo. I don't even. How do you spell that?
Robo. RoboForm.
Oh.
RoboForm.
RoBo. Because I'm not familiar with that either. So
okay.
I'm doing two things at once here for you. If you don't even have to be logged in, go to our website and click on Tools. There's in the menu, there's one that says Tools. There it talks about RoboForm, Mail Washer Pro, which is another product we really like. I get no spam in my computer because Mail Washer will look at all my email for me, show me what's there. I can even unsubscribe from things I don't want to ever come to my computer while I'm on Mail Washer Pro. Then it cleans out all that email I don't want, and then I push send, or whatever the word is. Go to Outlook. And then it loads everything to Outlook automatically. That's another tool. You need to read that stuff. And go to their websites or hyperlinks, and it'll tell you all about it. Now, what you let me re-log in here just a second, and I might be able to. Well, let's do this. I'm really running out of time. I can't do it right now. Send me an email. You have my email address?
I did. Give it. Let me find my paper here. Jim, give it to me again. I don't know where I put it. Probably in my type notes somewhere.
All right. Just a second. I got to open up something here real quick.
Oh, it's probably on one of your.
No, here it is. It's
on everything.
It's security at indicatorinformation.com. Security at indicatorinformation.com.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got it.
All right, send me that, and I'll go in and find it, and I'll send you a username, and I'll regenerate you a new password.
Okay, Jim, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I just have not been on my computer for a while.
It'll probably be later this afternoon or first thing tomorrow. I've got an appointment here in about 2 minutes. I got to get ready to get out of here. So,
Jim,
I need to go.
All right, Carol, about the RoboForm, is there a cost or how do you sign up for a RoboForm?
Just go to RoboForm.com and you go sign up for the free one.
Oh, wow. RoboForm.com. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks for Leah. Bye-bye. Well, Jim, I know you're in a hurry. Thank you for today. You want to give us your contact information, and I'll close.
Okay, well, don't want too many contacts right now, but emergency is security at information, at indicatorinformation.com. I'm not going to put out my phone number right now. Like I said earlier, I need some time to myself. So go ahead, Carol.
All right, and you're losing your voice. Thank you, and enjoy your afternoon. Okay. So, you know, like many of you, we've heard that we must have a trust and we exchange, so we urge you to be prepared. Typical turnaround time right now is less than a week, but we expect it to be considerably longer post-RV. Our contracts are well-priced at only $19.95 for new clients and $14.95 for additional trust or family members. And we also offer a $300 referral fee for any fully paid new trust. So that is about it for today. Again, Jim, even if you're not there, thank you for your assistance. Thanks to all of you for your attention and participation. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Enjoy your weekend. It may be a blessed one for all of us. My name is Carol Werlius, 877-333-5018. And my email is info@indicatorinformation.com. Talk to you soon. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.